Here's a 5'2" package from home, Judy Garland.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight.
Hey everyone, this is Mindy. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next in our Judy Garland series is her appearance on Lux Radio Theater, broadcast on November 17th, 1941, and she is co-starring with, can anyone guess, only one guess, time's up, Mickey Rooney. Who else could it be? They are contractually obligated to be inseparable. They're together on this particular broadcast to recreate Merton of the Movies, and if you've heard of this, kudos to you. It surprised me to read that this was considered one of the earliest spoofs of Hollywood in the silent film era. It started off originally as a short story published in the Saturday Evening Post by Harry Leon Wilson in 1919. And because it was published that long ago, you can actually read it for free on a variety of websites that offer such things that aren't restricted by copyright anymore. Download on e-readers, HTML, things like that, if you want to give that a look. They took the short story in 1922 and turned it into a highly successful play. It was adapted by George S. Kaufman and Mark Connelly. It ran for 398 performances at a time when about half that was considered a smashing success. So it's interesting to me that this doesn't get revived or is really not more known, but apparently it's just kind of one of those great successes from the earlier days that has really never gained traction in modern audiences. One of the cute things I read about some of the advertisement back then, they said that the main character, Merton Gill, is, quote, smitten by the flickers, unquote. I have said this probably a couple dozen times since I've read it, and it means nothing to anyone but me. It doesn't matter. It amuses me, and it will for several days. Smitten by the flickers. It's my new favorite phrase. They went ahead and made it into a movie in 1924. It's presumed lost from everything I've read. There's no copy of this that exists in any collection, private or public. And then again in 1947, they made another movie starring Red Skelton. Did not make money. It lost not a lot, but it did lose. A lot of background information on Merton of the Movies. I found it all really interesting. It was a somewhat well-known and interesting story that, honestly, that we've seen before with Judy and Mickey. This is a young kid trying to make it in Hollywood, and he's got his lovely, talented female friend with him rooting him on. In this particular version, I don't think Mickey's character is as lovable as it has been in other things, but it still plays well because Judy is so uniquely talented, and Mickey, their chemistry and their talent take it way past what the character actually should be given. Judy also sings the Peanut Vendor song, which you'll probably recognize as part of a medley from A Star Is Born. The Peanut Vendor song also has a lot of history that I found really fascinating. It was released in 1930 as El Manicero, and this was the first million-selling Cuban record or Latin record of any kind. It helped usher in the rumba craze in the 1940s. It's been recorded over 160 times, and there is a little bit of dispute of where it actually originated from, but credit is given to Moises Simons. She sings the heck out of it. So it's a fun song to include in the broadcast. And then Judy and Mickey sing How About You, which is the Oscar-nominated song from Babes on Broadway in 1942. A lot of trivia tonight. I hope you don't mind that. Every once in a while, it kind of just happens where a song or a story or a guest or something just has a lot of interesting information. Anyway, enjoy your Judy and Mickey pairing this time in Merton of the Movies.
Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland in Martin of the Movies. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. On Monday nights, after our curtain falls and our stars have gone home, the staff usually hangs around for a while to cut up the show, pick out all the flaws, and see where we made our mistakes. One Monday night a few weeks ago, I accused the boys of having failed to startle me with anything lately. They were all ready for me. They said, "Let's put Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland in Merton of the Movies." That was a startler. It happened that our two stars had just finished their picture, Babes on Broadway, at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. So here's Mickey, here's Judy, and here's Merton of the Movies. And I suppose here's an audience that's wondering what's going to come out of it all. Well, move over, brother, and make room for us. Nobody knows when youngsters as lively as these two are concerned. But most of you will remember that Merton of the Movies was a triple hit, as a novel, a play, and a motion picture. It's the amazing story of what happened to one movie-struck young man who exchanged the comparative calm of a general store in the Middle West to the incomparable hurly-burly of Hollywood. In Hollywood, the story of obscurity one day and fame the next is an old, old story. It's just as much to be expected as the sight of dancing girls, pirates, or Eskimos on a studio street, or, of course, Lux toilets open and stars' dressing room. But to be a real success, you can't be famous just in Hollywood. It's the rest of the country that really gives the star rating, both to an actor and to a product. Naturally, we value what Hollywood says about our product, but we think just as much of the opinion of the housewife in Seattle, the stenographer in Philadelphia, the schoolteacher in Dallas, and the salesgirl in Des Moines. Lux Toilet Soap has made a hit, not just in Hollywood and New York, but in all the big and little towns in between. Now, I'd like to have you meet Merton of the Movies. Merton is played by Mickey Rooney and Phyllis by Judy Garland. Here's the curtain for the first act.
You swine! You dog! Force your attentions on Miss Brathwaite, will you? Well, I'll take that! And that! And that!
Don't be alarmed, ladies and gentlemen. The blood-curdling battle which just took place was fought by a young grocery clerk named Merton Gill and a clothing store dummy, with the dummy coming off second best. Merton often engages in these bouts, usually in the back room of the Simsbury General Store. There, on the store's time, Merton indulges in his favorite fancy, pretending that he's a motion picture star. Yes, Merton is definitely movie-struck. Now, in the storeroom, he stands over his fallen foe, the dummy.
Well, have you had enough? Ha, 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 ha. I thought so. Now, get on your feet and don't ever show your face around here again. Go on, get! Well, Miss Brathwaite, I guess we've seen the last of Smiling Jack for a while. And now, Miss Brathwaite, ma'am...
Merton!
If you all could see your way clear to marrying up with me, why, I
Merton.
Would...
Merton!
Yes, Mr. Gashwiler.
How many times do I have to call you? What are you doing back here in the storeroom?
Why, nothing, Mr. Gashwiler. I was just trying
Did you
to...
stack up those cans that came in this morning like I told you?
No, sir, not yet.
Then get a move on.
Yes, sir.
Say, what's that dummy doing on the floor?
That. I'll pick it up right now, Mr. Gashwiler.
How did it get there in the first place?
Well, I was just... You see, I...
Never mind. Get after those cans, and then I got a few deliveries for you.
Yes, sir.
Say, Merton.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. Was that you down in the meadow this morning?
In the meadow? Why, yes, sir.
With the horse again?
Yes, sir. I was just hitching her up.
Now, listen, Merton. That old mare ain't been hitched up since we got the delivery truck. What were you doing down there?
Well, I just wanted to see if she was still all right.
At 6 o'clock in the morning? Merton, I don't know as I understand you lately. You've been acting mighty queer.
I'm just the same.
No, you ain't. And I know what it is, too. It's them moving pictures. If you'd stay away from that By Joe Theater and pay a little more attention to your work around here, you'd be a lot better off.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what you said the last time. Well, I'm telling you for the last time. You get a move on and start looking for another job. Now set up those cans and make those deliveries.
But why not, Burton? Why can't you come tonight? All the old gang will be there.
Look, Elmer, I gotta make this delivery. Excuse me, will you?
But you never come around anymore. Gee, I should think you'd want some relaxation or something.
Well, I'll put it to you frankly, Elmer. I ain't got time to run around with the crowd. I've got other interests.
What other interests?
Well, I have them, that's all.
Hey, you're not in love with some girl, are you?
Don't be ridiculous. I got no time for women.
Okay, okay. Don't get sore.
Look, Elmer, I guess I have been acting sort of funny.
I'll say.
Do you think that I'm slappy or something, huh?
No. No, I don't. No matter what people say.
What do you mean? What do they say?
Oh, about things you do. Look, you can trust me, Merton. Tell me, were you in the pasture this morning talking to a horse?
What horse?
Dashweiler's horse. Charlie Harper said he saw you with your arms around her neck.
What would I be talking to a horse for?
Of course, I can understand. I mean, if you were lonesome or something.
Could a horse keep me company if I was lonesome? Could any... So long, Elmer. See you around. Gotta make this delivery and get back to the store.
Then you won't come around tonight?
I can't. I'm busy.
Okay. Be seeing you.
Hello, Merton.
Hello, Tess. Groceries.
Bring them in, Merton. Look, Murda came for you.
What did?
Lesson number 6 from the Hofburg School of Acting.
Oh, let's see. Oh, gee, thanks, Tess.
Oh, I think it's wonderful, Merton. You're taking lessons like this through the mail. It shows real ambition.
It's wonderful of you to let them mail them here. If Mr. Gashweiler saw me getting this stuff, he'd fire me. Hey, look at this. The facial expressions. Anger.
Love.
Horror! Etc. Oh, I'll work on this tonight.
Oh, here's something else. Mr. Harris, the photographer, asked me to give them to you.
Oh, yes. You know what they are?
Well, they're pictures, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, stills of me in different characters. You want to see them?
Oh, I'd love to, Merton.
There you are. That's me in a Western outfit, taken down in the meadow with a horse.
Oh, that's good. Like Gene Autry.
Mm-hmm. A little.
Well, it's almost the same costume. But the horse is sort of, well...
Well, what do you expect from Gashweiler's mare? Here, look at this one.
Oh, Merton, you look wonderful in evening clothes.
Mm, that society man type. But here's the one I like best of all. Here, now, look, who is it?
Why, Jew.
Well, sure, it's me, but I mean, who does it look like?
Oh, well, let me see now. Don't tell me.
Don't you get it yet? Of course, it's not a perfect resemblance or anything like
wait,
that, but...
Wait, I've got it.
Who?
Charles Boyer.
Huh? Oh, no, I wasn't thinking of Boyer. I meant that... Do you really think so?
Sure I do. Of course it isn't perfect, but look, just put your finger over the eyes and nose and kind of look at it sideways. See?
Ah, Boyer. Huh, maybe so.
Of course, he's a lot bigger.
Boyer, gee, he's a swell actor.
Pepe Le Moko, the king of the Gaspar, they call me. The most dangerous jewel thief in all the world.
Oh, Merton.
You're afraid of me? Now, don't be afraid of me, my shay. Look at me. Kiss me.
Oh, Merton, that's wonderful.
Huh? Oh, it's just a little thing I've been working on down at the store, that's
Missy,
all.
Missy, is that Merton Gill?
Yes, Mother.
Well, tell him Mr. Gashweiler just called. He wants to know what's holding up the rest of the deliveries.
All right.
Gee, I better go.
Are you going to the Bijou tonight?
No, I can't. I got to rehearse a couple of scenes I got in mind.
Harvey Corliss is there in a Western.
Hmm?
He's got a swell interview in Cameron this week. I was just reading it. Look.
Let me see.
I like this part here. See?
Hard work and the constant striving toward an ideal is the key to success.
No, below that. About his wife.
His wife? Oh, yeah, down here. She not only is my best pal... but also my severest critic.
Isn't that a wonderful tribute?
Yeah. Success hasn't gone to his head. And it won't go to mine either. Hard work and the constant striving toward an ideal. Oh, Tess, that's wonderful.
Merton, what about the delivery?
Yes, ma'am. I was just leaving.
You swine! You cur! Take that! And that! And now, Miss Brathwaite, ma'am!
What do you think you're doing in here?
Oh, Mr. Gashweiler...
Merton, I've stood enough of this. Who are you talking to?
Why, nobody.
That's what I thought. Every time I come back here, those dummies are all over the floor.
Look, Mr. Gashwiler, I'm not doing any harm.
How do I know what you're doing? I declare, Merton, if your folks were still alive, you'd certainly be a trial to them.
I'm just studying, that's all.
Studying? Studying what?
Well, I may as well tell you. I'm studying acting.
Acting?
Yes, sir. From the Hofburg School of Acting.
I see. Well, let me tell you this, young man. I don't want any more studying while you're working for me.
You don't mean that, do you, Mr. Gashwiler?
I certainly do.
All right, then. I'll leave.
You'll what?
I'll leave. I'm going out to Hollywood.
To Hollywood?
Yes, sir.
To be an actor?
Yes, sir, and I'll succeed, too.
Tain't likely, a boy from Simsbury.
Lincoln walked 4 miles for a book.
Yes, but you ain't studying for president. All right, Merton, if that's what you want to do, then I'll just go ahead and get somebody else. You got much money?
$270.
Well, I hope you make a big success of it, Merton. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Gashwiler. And I'm sorry about those dummies.
That's all right. You didn't hurt them none. I can't make you out, Merton. You're a nice boy, one of the nicest I ever knew. But I guess you're just crazy.
Well, goodbye, Miss Breathwaite, ma'am. Someday we shall meet again. Oh, good evening, young lady. What's that? You asked me to tell the readers of your magazine to what I owe my success? Hard work, young lady. Hard work and the constant striving toward an ideal. Perhaps I owe most, however, to my wife. She is more than a wife. She is my best pal. And I may say, my severest critic. Across the plains to the blue Pacific, riding west. Hi-ho, Silver, giddy up, boy, get after him, boy. 30 miles, and I get up.
Shall I make up your berth now, sir? Or is you fixing to go the rest of the way by horseback?
Huh? Oh.
I'm sorry, folks, no casting today.
Try again tomorrow, no casting today.
No casting, sorry.
Will you leave your name, please?
Leave your name.
Just leave your name, please.
No casting today.
Leave your name.
No casting.
No casting.
No casting.
Leave your name.
Now, I'm sorry, folks, but there's no use waiting around. We're not using anybody until Friday. We might as well all go home. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mac, can I talk to you just a minute?
Hey, you back again?
All I want is a chance. I can do almost anything.
Listen,
you want.
You heard what I said. We're not using any extras till Friday.
But I don't want to be an extra. I can act.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, and there's 10,000 other guys who can act, too. Say, if we let everybody act who wanted to act, there wouldn't be anybody left for an audience. Now, see me Friday.
Hello, Charlie.
Oh, hello, fellas.
Anything new on that bit?
I was just going to check. You want to sit around?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, how's it going?
Fair. I could have had a job at Big Art this morning, but I turned it down.
Ah, getting fussy, huh?
Nope. It was Arab stuff, and I've been bit by my last camel.
Say, Jeff Baird was looking for a girl with a voice to dub a couple of numbers. Would you be interested?
Am I interested in eating? Certainly.
Well, I'll see if he's over on the set. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Mac.
Hello.
Are you in pictures?
Yes, sometimes.
Gee, that must be swell.
Oh, why?
Well, I mean, being an actor, have you been in pictures long?
I was 6 years old when I played my first part.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. How'd you get it?
They were looking for a kid with 2 front teeth missing. I was it.
Oh, comedy, huh?
What's the matter with comedy?
Well, I don't care for it myself. I think it's, well, making people laugh at you. It's degrading to a great art.
What art?
Motion pictures.
Oh, motion pictures. You're pretty new, aren't you?
Yeah, I've only been in town about 3 weeks.
Have you worked yet?
No, not yet. I can't get anybody to look at these pictures. I got some stills here, different costumes and all, you know. Would you like to see them?
Yeah.
This one is me and a horse, Western stuff.
Uh-huh. Hmm?
And this one, I like this one the best. You notice anything about it?
About what?
The picture, you notice anything? I mean, doesn't it look like somebody?
Huh?
Well, here, just put your finger over the eyes and nose and there, look at it sideways. Now, well?
Well, it helps.
never mind. I guess it's not as good as I thought it was. What's your name?
Phyllis Wayne. What's yours?
Clifford Armitage.
What did you say?
Clifford Armitage.
That's what I thought you said.
Of course, that's just my stage name.
Oh.
I figured it looked better in lights than Merton Gill.
In lights? You're going to be a big success, aren't you?
I hope so.
Have you got any idea what you're up against?
Oh, it's going to be a struggle for a while. I know that.
Yeah. Jobs are few and far between these days. Take the case of my pop. He's an old-timer in this business. Last month he got a job in a mountaineer picture, but they wouldn't stand for the crepe hair, so he had to go and raise a garden.
A garden?
A beard.
Oh, a beard, a garden, yeah. Sure.
He spent 4 whole weeks raising it, and what happened? He gets a half-day's work and a revenuer shoots him dead, so he's out. He spends 2 more weeks trying to rent the garden, nobody will have it, so he shaves it off. He still's got the lather on his face when he gets a call. They want a beard. Well, that's just an idea of how tough it is sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I don't see what that's got to do with me. I couldn't raise a beard anyhow.
Well, you win, brother.
Oh, Miss Bodie, call up Central Casting.
Yes, sir.
38 men and women, evening clothes, 8. Tomorrow morning, stage 3.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mack, is that call for a lot of people?
Still here?
Yes, sir, I just heard you say that you needed some...
Do you want to work tomorrow?
Do I? Sure.
You got evening clothes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 8 o'clock.
Gee, thanks. Do you hear that, Miss Wayne? I'm working tomorrow. Say, Mr. Mack, should I have my breakfast before I come?
Well, it might be a good idea.
Okay, let's see. It's about 11 a.m. now. That's not long, is it?
Well, no time at all.
Oh, I mean, if I go to bed early, why that'll make the time pass a lot more quickly.
Say, is he kidding? Listen, this is no starring part. It's $7.50.
Oh, that's all right. Hard work and the constant striving toward an ideal is the key to success. Thanks a lot, Mr. Mack.
That kid frightens me.
After a brief intermission, Mr. DeMille and our stars Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland will bring us Act Two of Merton of the Movies. Well, here's our young friend Sally looking sprightlier than ever. Sally, what brings that gladsome sparkle to your eye?
Maybe it's the compliment I got today, Mr. Ruick, that makes me feel so good.
May I ask what he said?
Certainly. It wasn't he, though. It was she. You know, Mr. Ruick, when you get a compliment from the younger generation, that's news.
Oh, come, Sally. What do you mean by the younger generation?
Well, I mean my little cousin, Susie. She's 13 and critical, especially when it comes to members of her own family. Last time I put my hat on to go out this afternoon, I gave my face that final dash of powder, you know, women always do. Well, Susie was watching me, and when I finished, she said, "You didn't really need to do that, Cousin Sally. Your skin looked just as beautiful before."
Very nice, Sally. No wonder you felt good. Well, I hope you didn't lose that golden opportunity to impress on your young relative what complexion care you use.
Oh, she knows all about Lux Toilet Soap, Mr. Ruick, and how important it is to give your skin daily active lather care. She knows that green stars always use Lux soap, too.
She's right about that, Sally. Now, suppose you tell us just why 9 out of 10 Hollywood stars use Lux soap.
Well, that's easy. It's because Lux soap has active lather that removes every trace of dust and dirt and stale cosmetics. And because Lux soap is as pure and mild as a soap can be. That creamy, rich lather gives skin the gentle, cherishing care that it needs.
Right, Sally. The owners of some of the world's loveliest complexions proved that by saying they wouldn't think of neglecting their daily active lather facials.
Yes, and it's so easy to take a Lux Beauty facial. You just pat the smooth lather lightly in, rinse with warm water and a dash of cool, and then pat your face dry with a soft towel. Simple, but it works.
You bet it does, Sally. Lovely ladies everywhere find gentle Lux soap care just right for their priceless complexions. If you haven't tried it, why not begin tomorrow? Take these Lux Soap facials every day for 30 days. You'll be delighted with the flower-fresh look they give your skin. And now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of Merton of the Movies, starring Mickey Rooney as Merton and Judy Garland as Phyllis.
Hard work and the constant striving toward an ideal. With this motto before him, Merton is struggling along the road to success. But he's discovered that the most difficult part of the motto is finding some hard work. His pocketbook's very thin now, for he's worked just one day in 7 weeks. At last comes another call for extras, and Merton is on the set, wild-eyed and eager.
Hey, hold the hill, the kids. Hey, Joe, can I
I shoot this scene?
About 5 minutes, Mr. Weller.
All right, but shake it up, Will. Oh, for the love of...
Excuse me, Mr. Weller. I
look,
didn't mean
kid,
to bump into you.
Don't stand behind me, please. Every time I turn around, you step all over my feet.
I'm sorry, Mr. Weller. I'm just trying to learn, you
well,
know.
Well, learn to keep out of the way, will you?
Yes, sir.
Say, Charlie,
yeah.
Where's the guy who's going to do this bit?
I just called his house, Mr. Weller. I think he's on his way.
You think he is? What am I running here, a guessing game? Call the office and find out if he's waiting over there.
Okay, Mr. Weller.
Hiya, trooper.
Oh, hello, Miss Wayne. I didn't know you were on this picture.
4 days. That's practically a career for me. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good.
Been working?
Well, no, but I've been making a lot of good contacts.
Oh, sure.
I had a chance for a part, but it turned it down.
Why?
Well, it was just one of those comedy things. They wanted me to do a fall out of a canoe, come up all wet with a fish in my mouth. I told them what I thought of it, and I walked out.
Why didn't you take it? At least you could have eaten the fish.
Oh, I'm getting along.
You know, maybe you're making a mistake. You've got a swell face for...
For what?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hi, fellas. Did you see Bad yesterday?
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie. It looks like it's all set. 3 weeks, maybe more.
Nice work, kid.
You got another part?
Lucky me. Looks like a good one for a change. 2 songs all my own.
Oh, gee, that's great.
Charlie, what goes?
Nothing yet, Mr. Weller. I just can't locate the guy.
All right, then. I'll shoot it without him. Any one of these kids know anything about acting?
Hey, that's me, Mr. Weller. Mr. Weller, do you want an actor?
Can you read a line?
Yes, sir. I can read anything.
Now, let me look at you. You're a little small for this.
Well, gee, there are a lot of small guys in the world. Couldn't your fella in the picture be a small guy? Please, Mr. Weller, give me a chance, will you?
All right, but don't try to make a scene out of this.
Oh, no.
It's one speech, and I want to do it in one take.
Oh, yes, sir. You can depend on me.
Joe, all set?
All set, Mr. Weller.
Now, here's the gag.
Okay, folks.
You walk down to this table here. You lean over, and you put your hand on Fred's shoulder.
Yeah.
And you say, "It's all right, Fred. The whole school's behind you, and we're going to stick with you to the finish." You got it?
I'll walk down and put hand in first. Yes, sir. It's all right, Fred. The whole school's behind you. We're going to stick with you to the finish.
Slower, slower.
Yes, sir.
All right. Roll them.
Roll them. Quiet.
Right over there.
Yes, sir.
Watch my hand for the go-ahead.
Rolling. 88, B6.
Now, go on.
It's all right, Fred. The whole school's behind you, and we're going to...
Hold it. Hold it. What's the matter with you, kid?
I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous, Mr. Weller.
You don't have to yell that line. Take it easy. Take it easy.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's try it again. Roll them, Joe.
Roll them. Quiet.
Watch out for that chair.
Yes, sir.
You almost knocked it over that time.
Yeah, watch out for the chair.
Keep over a little to the left.
A little more to the left.
Rolling. 88, B7.
Go ahead.
It's all right, Fred. The whole school's behind you, and we're going to stick with you until...
Cut! Cut! I told you to watch out for that chair.
Well, I thought if I put in a gesture right there, Mr. Weller...
Who asked for a gesture? Just say the line. That's all I ask. Say the line.
Yes, sir.
Now, come on. Come on. Pull yourself together. Let's get working in here. Roll them, Joe.
Roll them. Quiet.
Naturally, now. Just as if you were talking to your friend. Quietly and naturally.
Quietly, naturally. Yes, sir.
Rolling. 88, B8.
Let's have it now.
It's all right, Fred. The whole school's behind you, and we're going to stick you with this thing to the finish.
Well, not stick you with it. Stick with you.
I'm sorry. I was...
How long have you been in this business?
Well, this is my first part.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, everybody, we'll skip this for now. Break for lunch, 1 hour.
Mr. Weller, I'm sure I can do it. I'm just a little nervous, and
look,
I'm sure
kid,
if you gave
see
me
the
one...
cashier. Charlie will give you a slip, and we'll pay you for the bit.
But I didn't do it.
That's all right. It was my fault. You're just not right for this part. Charlie, will you please get hold of that guy?
Well, I'm still trying, Mr. Weller.
I want him here at 1:30.
Okay, Mr. Weller.
Don't worry about it, trooper. This doesn't mean anything.
Huh? Oh.
I take lots of wallops like that every time I do a part. You're not going to let it get you down, are you?
I'm not down.
Of course you're not.
Didn't know what he meant, that's all.
Oh, he doesn't know himself.
When a person's making their first appearance and all, why...
Sure.
I,
Why, the first time they aimed a camera at me, I thought there was bullets in it.
But still, it was my chance. I had to go and... I wish you'd let me done it again. I could have done it the next time, honest.
I know. You could have. The only thing is, it's a long time between chances.
Yeah.
Sometimes you wait for months. How are you fixed? For money, I mean.
Oh, I'm okay.
Well, I could let you have some.
Oh, no, no.
Well, just a loan. You could pay it back.
No, thanks, but I don't need it. I'm okay.
All right. Want a sandwich?
No, I'm not hungry.
You ought to eat something.
I couldn't anyway. I'm going home right away, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I better go. Look, here's my number. Will you give me a ring sometime?
Sure. I'd love to.
We'll see a picture, maybe.
Great idea. Swell.
Well, so long. See you around.
Huh? Yeah, see you around, Miss Wayne. I could have done it. I could have done it. Just one more chance, that's all. It's all right, Fred. The whole school's behind you. And we're going to stick with you until the finish. Gee.
Nothing doing today, fella.
No casting today.
No casting. No casting.
Just leave your number, please.
No casting. Leave your number.
No casting today.
Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Hey, trooper.
Oh, hello.
I thought that was you sitting there. I just drove around the block again to make sure.
Well, That's very nice of you.
Nope. Purely selfish. I just wanted to find out what was the matter with me.
Huh?
Well, the last time I saw you, you were going to give me a ring. What happened to that movie date?
Well, I figured you were pretty busy. I've been reading about you in the movie columns.
Oh, don't believe that 7-year contract stuff. There's an option every 6 months. I'm still a working girl.
Just the same, congratulations.
Thanks. Tried to call you one day.
Yeah?
Charlie gave me your number. They were going to use a lot of extras, and I thought you might be interested.
Gee, that's very nice of you.
When I called, the landlady said you'd moved. She didn't know where to.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't like that place very much.
What's your number now?
Well, I haven't got a phone right now.
Oh. Well, give me your address, then.
My address? Well, it's... Ha, ha, ha. Gee, that's funny.
What?
I've been living there all this time, and I can't think of it. Isn't that funny?
It's a scream. Which park is it? This one?
Huh?
Which park and what bench? Just in case something comes up, I'd like to know where to reach you.
Oh, you've got the wrong idea.
No, you have. You think it's something to be ashamed of. You had your dinner yet?
Well, I
haven't, and I'm starved. Would you like to go somewhere?
No, thanks. I don't want to. I mean,
look, have you got a dime?
Yeah, I've got a dime.
Well, so have I. Let's go to a drive-in and get a hamburger and sit and talk. Is there anything wrong with that?
I guess not.
Well, come on. Let's go.
Two hamburgers. Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
That's 21 cents.
Oh, yeah. Sure. 21
could
cents.
Could I have a glass of water, please?
The water right away.
Here's my dime. Mind if I pay the tax, too?
No, but I hope I haven't...
What's the matter? What are you looking for?
Well, I can't find... It was in this pocket when I was... Oh, here it is.
The dime.
Yeah, I had me scared for a minute.
Yeah. Guess it would have been tragic if I'd had to pay for yours, too.
Here's your water.
Thanks.
Listen, you were saying something before about Harvey Corliss.
Oh, yeah. He held up the picture almost a week with a black eye.
A black eye? Where'd you get it?
His wife gave it to him.
Oh, no. You must be wrong. I read an article about Corliss once, and he said that his wife was his best pal and severest critic.
Oh, she's a critic, all right. She beamed him with an ashtray.
I don't believe it.
No? Okay. You'll be the only one in town who believes he ran into that door.
Gee, you know, you get so you don't know what to believe in this town.
That's right. But all the ideals and illusions in the world won't buy you dinner or find you a place to sleep.
You ought to get rid of them for your own good. This idea you've got about playing comedy. Well, you could get plenty of work, maybe, if you'd only...
If I let somebody slam me in the face with a pie? No, thanks. That's not my idea of acting. And I'll be a good actor or I won't act at all.
You said it.
What?
I don't know why I bother my head about you anyway. Any guy who's as dumb...
Did I ask you to bother about me? Did I ask you for 1 second to concern yourself with anything that I was...
Stop it. That's an old scene. I've played it myself.
I'm not playing a scene.
You're always playing a scene. You want to struggle for your art. You wouldn't take success the easy way if it was offered to you on a platinum platter. Brother, you're just pure ham.
Do you mind, Miss Wayne, if I leave?
And that proves it.
Thank you. Good night, Miss Wayne.
Good night. Look out for that train.
Hey, something happened over here?
Yeah, I broke a couple of things. I'll pay for them. I mean, forget it.
That's the boss's worry.
See what I mean? You can't even make an exit without getting a laugh.
If there's any damage done to the car, I'll be glad to pay for that, too. Someday. Good night.
I know this is a great idea, Mr. Baird. This boy is very funny, and that part you've been talking about...
Phyllis, let's be sensible.
Yeah, but he's just right for it, Mr. Baird. He's a natural comic.
Will you stop? I direct pictures. I don't run a school for would-be actors. Now, outside, Phyllis, I'm busy.
Look, will you do one thing for me, please?
The answer's gonna be no.
Mr. Weller has some shots of him. They printed him by mistake and ran him with the rushes. Will you just take a look at him?
No.
But they're funny. Ask Mr. Weller. They saved all the takes just for laughs around the studio.
What's his kid look like?
Well, he thinks he looks like any one of 10 stars, but just between us, he's got a face like nobody else in the world.
Well, that's a nice recommendation. Fine. Tell me something. Do you like him?
Do I like him? You mean personally?
Yeah, personally. In person.
Well, I guess I'd feel sorry for him.
Uh-huh. Same thing.
Please, Mr. Baird, just look at those takes. What harm can it do, please? Will you? For me?
Oh, I was afraid this would happen. All right, I'll see them.
Oh, thanks.
Hello? Hello, Phyllis? This is Jeff Baird. Listen, I've just seen those takes. Come down here, I want to talk to you. Phyllis, I think you found something. What do you mean I can't tell him it's comedy? Well, the part is slapstick, that's what I want.
I know it is, Mr. Baird, but if he thinks it's funny or if he thinks he's funny, he won't take the job.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, look, it's very simple. Just let him be natural. Don't tell him anything, he'll think it's serious.
Is he that dumb?
Well, he just doesn't know pictures, that's all.
All right, we'll try it. Get hold of this screwball and tell him to be here in the morning.
Well, I'll have to locate him first. Can I use your phone?
Go ahead. You got his number?
No, I'll have to find him through the police department.
Through the police? What is this?
When you finish those dishes, I got some more for you, kid.
Yes, sir.
And then when it comes 2 o'clock after lunch, you wait on the counter outside. Okay?
Yes, sir. Gee, I guess I busted another one.
Yeah, I guess you did it. You're not so good for this, you know.
I'm sorry.
How long you do this work, eh?
I never did it before. You see, I'm really an actor.
Is that so? You ought to speak to the dishwasher on a night shift. He's an actor, too.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's the matter? You don't want me? I didn't do nothing, Mr. Donovan.
No, I want to speak to your new dishwasher.
Well, what about who are you?
Los Angeles Police Department.
You mean a detective?
That's right. What's your name, buddy?
Why, it's Clifford Armitage.
Your name, I said, not your residence. Come on, what is it?
Merton Gill.
Merton Gill, that's it. Let's go, Merton.
Let's go where?
Headquarters.
But what for?
Don't ask me, buddy.
But listen, I didn't do anything. I didn't... All right, I'm ready. So long, Nick.
Huh? What's the matter with you?
You want to put the bracelets on me, Donovan?
What for?
Well, so I don't run away.
You try it, kid, and I'll beat your ears down. Come on.
I don't understand this, Mr. Baird. You
You mean you want me to work in your picture?
I just said so, didn't I?
Mr. Baird was looking for a certain type. I told him about you.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't know where to find you, so we had to put the police on it.
Well, you certainly went to a lot of trouble, but, Mr. Baird, haven't you made an awful lot of comedies?
Huh? Certainly I have. Why, I've been making comedies...
But this one isn't. This one's real drama. It's a swell story, really.
Look, son, I'm offering you a part. A real part in a real picture. Take it or leave it.
Well, I'd like to take it, of course, but this is a pretty delicate point in my career, Mr. Baird. I want to get off on the right foot, you know.
Oh, for the love of...
Merton, say you'll take it, quick!
Well, as long as it's
Merton, stop talking. Mr. Baird, he'll play the part.
All right, we'll draw up a contract for the picture with options for 5 years. I'll give you $150 a week. Is that okay?
I guess that's satisfactory.
Wow! Here's a few dollars advance. You can give it back to me out of your first check. Now go on out and get yourself some clothes and a haircut.
Yes, sir.
Be back here tomorrow at 9:00.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you, Miss Wayne. I guess I owe all this to you. I've dreamed about this for years. And well, now it's here.
That's all right.
And Mr. Baird, I'm glad you're going to start making serious things. And I'll give you my best. I'll give you everything that's in me. So long, Mr. Baird. Tripped over the chair. So long.
We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. In just a moment, Mr. DeMille and our stars, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, will bring us Act 3 of Merton of the Movies. And now, here at the microphone is our sound effects man. He's about to give you a quick impression of a day in the life of a very busy woman. All right, Charlie, go ahead. Oh, stop, Charlie. You're breaking our hearts. But seriously, aren't those sounds familiar to every woman with a household to run and children to bring up? No wonder our busy lady says late in the afternoon.
Oh, what a day. Oh.
But our heroine isn't going to let a day like that get her down. No, not for a minute. Let's listen again.
I don't know what I'd do without my Lux soap bath. I'll feel good as new in just a few minutes. By all my...
Yes, women everywhere tell us they can always depend on a Lux toilet soap bath for a quick pickup when they need it. They're making this luxurious bath part of their daily beauty routine. And here's the important reason why. A Lux soap bath does more than refresh and relax you. Lux toilet soap, you see, has active lather that carries away perspiration and every trace of the day's dust and dirt. That rich, creamy lather leaves skin exquisitely fresh and sweet, makes you sure of daintiness that means so much to charm. And there's still another reason why your Lux soap bath is a real beauty bath. Screen stars say, we love Lux soap's delicate perfume, the lovely clinging fragrance it leaves on the skin. Yes, when you step out of this beauty bath, you're not only refreshed, you're sure of daintiness too. And it costs so little to enjoy the daily luxury of a Lux soap bath. Lux toilet soap is very inexpensive, you know. And because it's hard milled, you can use every cake right down to the last thin sliver. Get 3 cakes of fragrant white Lux toilet soap tomorrow. Now, Mr. DeMille returns to the microphone.
The curtain rises on the third act of Merton of the Movies. Merton doesn't know it yet, but he's on the way to becoming a very funny actor. Convinced that the part is serious, he's giving his all, and Merton's all is plenty. The boys on the set have strict orders not to laugh, but it's a pretty tough assignment, particularly when Merton is laying on the dramatics in a heavy scene.
Goodbye, Gwendolyn. Maybe it's better this way. At least it's better for you. And when I pass through that door, I'll pass out of your life forever. Goodbye. Oh!
That's swell, Merton.
But, ow, Mr. Baird, that door was supposed to be open. I turned around and ran right into it.
That's all right. Forget it.
Well, how can you have a thing like that in the picture?
I tell you, it's all right. All we have to do is cut the shot just before you turn.
Oh, then it won't be in the part where I just hit the door.
That's the idea. Oh. Now, you go and sit down for a while, Merton. I don't want you to get tired.
Okay, I could stand a little rest.
Say, Mr. Baird, did you mean that?
What?
About cutting the end of that scene?
Are you crazy? Leave it in. It's terrific.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Leave everything in and print every take. I can make up a whole picture out of this kid's boners.
I get it. Say, we're all set for the club scene.
All right, let's take it. Where's Phyllis? She ready?
Yeah, right here, Mr. Baird.
Well, come on, we're going to take that number. Joe, move them over.
On the other set, everybody.
Mr. Baird, how's it going? With Merton, I mean.
Oh, pretty good. Newbery saw the rushes yesterday. He wants me to build up the kid's part. He thinks he's great.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm getting a little scared.
Why?
Well, what's going to happen when he finds out?
He won't find out. Not till the picture's previewed, anyhow. That's good enough for me.
I wasn't thinking about you. I was thinking about him. I'm afraid he might take it pretty hard.
Listen, he's getting paid, isn't he? And just for a change, he's eating 3 meals a day. That ought to be enough for him, too. You ready, Phyllis?
Yes, sir.
Orchestra ready? Let's take it. Lots of applause at the end of this, folks.
Good luck, Miss Wayne.
Oh, thanks.
You don't mind if I watch you, do you? Does it make you nervous?
No, not at all.
Roll them.
Just
quiet.
Wanted to make sure. You know how some of us are, all nerves.
Yeah.
Rolling.
63D7. Money. In Cuba, each merry maid wakes up with this serenade. Money, money. If you haven't got bananas, don't feel blue. Peanuts in a little bag are calling you. Money, money. Don't waste them, no tummy ache. You'll taste them when you're awake. For breakfast or dinner time, for supper most any time. Money, money. For at the very break of day, the peanut vendor's on his way. A merry twinkle in his eye, he's got a way that makes you buy. Through every city, town, and country lane, you'll hear him sing his plaintive little strain. And as he goes by, you'll hear him say, please buy my peanuts. They're here to sell peanuts. They're very swell peanuts. Hot in the shell. Who'll buy my peanuts today? Peanuts. Right off the vine, peanuts. They're mighty fine peanuts. Just give me a sign. Oh, lady, don't close your door. You really couldn't ask for any more. If you don't hurry, I'm gone. Perhaps you want some peanuts later on.
For a few minutes.
Why, sure. Sit down. What's on your mind?
Well, frankly, I'm a little worried about the picture, Mr. Baird.
Yeah? Why?
Well, that part where I come through the door on my hands and knees,
Aren't you afraid we might get a laugh there?
No, I'm not afraid.
It doesn't seem right somehow.
Of course it's right. You go outside to fight the other guy, he knocks you down.
Uh-huh.
What's more natural than crawling back on your hands and knees?
Well, I could stagger back. You know, a shot of me in the doorway. I've been hurt. There's a gash on my cheek. I stand there and I'm a swaying. And then I crumple up like this. I'm bang off. I'm falling on the floor. Huh?
No. Why, that's corny, Merton. You just leave these things to me, will you? Now, I've been in this business a little longer than you have.
Well, okay, but there's one thing more, Mr. Baird, and this is pretty serious.
Well?
Well, in that dramatic scene with the girl's mother, I feel, Mr. Baird, why can't I wear my shoes? But I feel silly standing there in my bare feet. I've never seen anything like that before.
That, my boy, is what is known as touch. The Baird touch. It makes you look smaller. It's pathos. That's what I want, and that's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, but I...
Got it, believe me.
Okay, Mr. Baird, I feel a lot better now.
Fine.
Tomorrow night. It keeps running through my head like a drum.
It's a great thing. Premier performance.
Phyllis, do you think I'll be asked to say something at the microphone, huh?
Maybe.
It's funny, isn't it? Sitting here with you, the same place, the same girl, but not the same guy. Why, I couldn't even buy you a hamburger then. And now I'm sitting on top of the world. Oh, well, that's Hollywood, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Hollywood.
What's the matter? What are you thinking about?
Merton, if tomorrow night, if things shouldn't be so good...
Huh?
Would it hurt you very much?
Well, I guess it would.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, what makes you say that, Phyllis? Are you afraid that people won't like me?
Oh, no. They're going to like you. A lot.
Listen, they're laughing at it.
Oh, Merton, please.
Why, what are they laughing about? Mr. Baird said
Merton,
that...
Merton, don't get excited. Just sit still a minute, please.
Goodbye, Gwendolyn. Maybe it's better this way. At least it's better for you. But when I pass through that door, I'll pass out of your life forever. Goodbye. Oh!
Oh, Merton, sit down.
Did you see that? He said they were going to cut it out. Oh, he told me that he was
going
to... I'm getting out of here. They're making a fool out of me. That's what I am. A fool.
Merton, come back.
Just a minute.
Good morning. Does Clifford Armitage live here?
Yes, he does.
Can I see him, please?
Come in. I think he's upstairs.
Armitage! Somebody here to see you.
Thanks a lot.
Don't mention it.
Who is it?
Hello, kid. My name's Wahlberg.
Yeah? What do you want?
I just want to talk to you. Number one, have you got an agent?
No, I haven't.
That's what I figured. Now, look, I'd like to handle you.
I'm sorry. I'm not interested in pictures.
Not interested? Have you seen the reviews this morning? Listen to what they're saying about you.
I don't want to hear it.
Listen. A young man named Clifford Armitage, the funniest newcomer in many a day. And here's another one. He's good for a laugh every time he comes on the screen. A low comedy face if this writer ever saw one. Oh, kid, you're made.
Low comedy face. I'll never trust another woman as long as I live.
Huh? What are you talking about?
I don't want to talk at all. So long.
No, wait. I've got something that's going to interest you. Is it definite you're going to stick with Baird?
It's definite that I'm leaving him.
Good. I can put you over in Big Art tomorrow.
Well, what kind of parts would I have?
The same as you had last night. Comedy, that's your line. Young love, adolescent stuff.
I don't want it.
Listen, kid, you stick to comedy. I'm telling you, you've got the best low comedy face in pictures. It's genuine pathos. Frankly, I don't believe you could ever make the grade in a serious story. But you've got pathos and acting plus. Now, what do you say? You want to sign with me? You'll be working next week in Big Art. Yes or no?
I'm sorry. I don't want to play comedy.
You mean you wouldn't come on any proposition?
That's what I mean.
Wouldn't $500 a week interest you?
No.
Six?
No.
$750?
No!
Well, you're a pretty tough egg, aren't you? All right, kid. Sorry we can't get together.
Yes?
Is Mr. Armitage in?
He's upstairs.
Armitage! Somebody to see you!
Is it all right if I go up?
Suit yourself.
Who is it?
It's Phyllis.
Hello. Come on in.
Oh, I thought...
You thought what?
Well, after last night, I figured you'd be sore at me.
What for? Why should I be sore at you?
Well, it was a dirty trick I played, Merton, but it turned out for your own good. I wish you could see it that way.
Well, sure I do. I'm a lot smarter than I was yesterday. Comedy is my line. Why, I've got the greatest low comedy face in pictures. Didn't you know that? I'm a scream. Every time I open my mouth, I'm good for a laugh. I've got pathos, acting, plus. Why, I'd be terrible in a serious story. Don't you think I know that? Do you think that I'm that dumb? Do you think that...
Merton, please.
I had an offer already this morning. They want to pay me $750 a week for making funny faces. That's funny enough right there.
You can't take that. You're signed with Baird.
Through with Baird. Through with Hollywood. I'm going home.
That means you're through with me, too, I suppose. All right. You can walk out on Baird and me, but not pictures. So you've got a low comedy face. What of it? They liked you, didn't they? You've got the greatest gift that was ever given to anybody, making people laugh. And you're not going to throw that gift away. You're going to go and see that picture. I'm going to drag you there every night for a week. And you're going to stand in the lobby and watch the people as they come out. They'll be laughing. They won't be scared and worried for a few minutes because you've made them forget. That's what people need now. They need to laugh. I pulled a dirty trick on you, but I'd do it again. I'd do it tomorrow if I thought it would make you understand that... Oh, why are you such a dope?
Phyllis. Gee, Phyllis, please, please don't cry. Please.
Do you see what I mean? Look at their faces.
I never laughed so hard in all my life. Is he marvelous?
A great kid, a great kid.
You see?
Yeah, I guess so.
They like you. They're your friend.
And you're there, isn't it?
Oh, come on, let's go.
You were swell, Mr. Armitage.
I almost died laughing.
Will you sign my book, please?
Autograph so young.
Your book? You mean it?
I got all the best actors. Will you please?
Gee, I'd love to.
Thanks.
Hiya, Phyllis. What's the good word?
Hello, Frank.
Got anything for the column?
No, not a speck of dirt.
Hello, Armitage.
Oh, hello, Frank.
What's this I noticed in the theater? You and Phyllis holding hands.
Oh, well, that's nothing.
Can I print it?
Well, you can say that we're friends.
Yeah, that's right, Frank. She's my greatest pal. And I might also add, my severest critic.
Curtain falls on that fabulous city called Hollywood. And here we are back in Hollywood. Two fine players, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, are returning to our microphone. And before they leave it, I've asked them to sing a song together.
Thank you.
This play was a lot of fun, Mr. DeMille.
But do you think that things really happen that way in Hollywood?
I don't know, Mickey. I've seen a lot of mighty unbelievable things here in the last 30 years.
Well, how about a few samples?
Well, now, Mickey, reminiscing is a luxury that only young fellows like you can afford. But just between us, I remember a small boy who made such a hit in pictures with a derby hat and a big black cigar that he couldn't get any other parts.
Whew! Sounds like an awful tough kid. Whatever became of him?
Well, he finally broke the jinx by playing Shakespeare and Andy Hardy. Right now, he's standing there beside you, Judy.
Oh, why, Mickey, smoking cigars at that age.
Oh, I used to get through 4 or 5 a day when I was younger. Well, they were chocolate anyway. Say, what was this place like when you first came out here, Mr. DeMille? Well,
my first studio was right across the street, Mickey, only the street was a country lane and the studio was a barn. And over here on the side of the Lux Radio Theater, well, Mickey, right where you're standing now, there used to be an orange tree.
Must be good soil here. First it grows oranges, then Lux soap.
Well, if Lux soap did grow on trees, it would be a lot nicer for us girls. I can't do without it. But back in those days, girls didn't have Lux soap to help keep their complexion soft and smooth, did they? Gee, pioneering must be awful.
You mean way back in 1912 BLS, that's before Lux soap. Well, those were pretty rugged times. Look what the Indians did to my hair.
Changing the subject, what have you got on the fire for next week, Mr. DeMille?
Next week, Mickey, one of the screen's most popular characters comes to the Lux Radio Theater for the first time. It's that fast-talking girl with a heart of gold, Maisie. The play is adapted from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, Maisie Was a Lady. And the stars, well, we wouldn't dare bring you anybody but the same actress who plays Maisie on the screen, Ann Southern. And co-starring with her, we'll have Lou Ayres and Maureen O'Sullivan from the picture cast, and Henry Stevenson. All the Maisie fans know what to expect, and I think the rest of you will become Maisie fans next Monday night.
Oh, gee, that sounds swell, Mr. DeMille. I want to hear that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the song that Mickey and Judy promised us. It's How About You, from their new picture, Babes on Broadway, and the first time it's been sung on the air.
When a girl meets boy, but the note they end on will depend on little pleasures they will share. So let us compare. I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in the movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you?
I'm an undeveloped alto.
I like Jack Benny's jokes
to a degree.
I love the common folks.
That includes me.
I like to window shop on Fifth Avenue.
You do? Well, I like banana splits, late supper at the Ritz. Say, how about you?
I love to dream of fame. Maybe I'll shine.
I'd love to see your name right beside mine.
I can see we're in harmony.
Looks like we both agree on what to do.
And I like it. How about you?
Good night. Good night. It's talent like yours that keeps Hollywood young. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Ann Southern, Lou Ayres, Maureen O'Sullivan, and Henry Stevenson in Maisie Was a Lady. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood. We'll be right back.
remind you now that the annual Red Cross Roll Call is going on throughout the country. Join the Red Cross and help the 1,001 activities of this great organization. Tune in next Monday night to hear Ann Southern, Lou Ayres, Maureen O'Sullivan, and Henry Stevenson in Maisie Was the Lady. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers, and your announcer has been Melville Ruick. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.